Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Election Day, Today's Issues program. How about that? Edition, I should say. I'm Tim Wildman. Thank you for being with us, for listening to this program and to AFR. Dr. Ray Pritchard joins me from Dallas. He's co-hosting today. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Tim. How are you?
You've been away a little while. Where you been?
I have been in the battleground states. I was down in Florida for a week teaching the book of Daniel down there, and then I was in Columbus, Ohio over the weekend up there. So doing a little ministry duty, also just checking out the political scene in two of the hottest states on this election day.
Well, joining me in studio to keep our Facebook page humming is Walker Wildman. He's our Facebook guru.
I am.
And
are on Facebook Live right now. If you want to watch the show and listen at the same time, you can go to Facebook, go to Today's Issues Facebook page. And a lot of these stories we're going to be talking about today will also be up on the Facebook page.
Yeah. I think I got my lavender shirt on today. Is that what this is?
Yeah.
I'm not really a
color. Looks like a certain kind of pink. Kind of.
Should a man say that in public? I don't know.
I'm taking it back. I'm taking lavender back for all those men here.
That's right. It's okay to wear lavender, you know?
Maybe some sort of shade of pink. I don't know. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com, also in studio with us. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be with you. I just want to personally thank Ray for voting in three states.
I'm a loyal American, you know. I spent years in Chicago. We understand. Vote early, vote often. Vote until they stop you.
I never will forget, 4 years ago, there was a interview with the lady from Ohio. Y'all remember this. And she was an Obama fan. And President Obama, and she did an interview now on camera, and they said, did you vote for President Obama? Yes, I did, three times. And she said, don't you're not supposed to vote three times. And she goes, well, he deserved it.
And
we will see.
That's not the only time that happened.
No. Hopefully things will go smooth today across the country, and we'll have a clear-cut winner, and we won't have to worry about voter fraud, although that is something every election cycle you wonder about. Where can that take place, and how will that affect especially with a race predicted to be so close today? It is Election Day across America. And, Fred, let me ask you this. Used to be that we had exit polling, which I've never been a fan of, quite frankly, because I worry that it affects people who might go to the poll otherwise, but they hear an exit poll and they go, well, I'm not going to go vote, because I've already heard an exit poll, and so and so is going to win. Are there going to be exit polling today?
There usually is, but the networks normally don't start commenting on what they heard in those kinds of interviews until afterwards. But I can tell you what I've heard this morning, various networks and even locally here from precincts, is that number one, the crowds are absolutely huge. Historic highs. We're talking in New Hampshire. I've heard people being interviewed in Ohio this morning, in Florida.
Now, this is the eyeball test of people who are going to the polls. Isn't a scientific.
No. Nope. Okay. Now, I will say our morning anchor, Rusty Pugh, went to his polling station where he's been voting for years. He said he saw the biggest crowd in 25 years. Cars parked in farmers' fields lining up to vote. So what we do know that there is a large turnout. It's interesting, contrast that with the advanced polling, which seemed to be lower in certain states. But what we're hearing across the board today is that we're seeing record turnouts, people having I was listening to one guy from Ohio this morning. He prides himself over the years of being number one at his polling station. He showed up at his regular time this morning, long before the polling station opened, and he was number 15 in line. So that is an indication, as I say, we're getting this from across the country, that there is incredible interest in getting out there to vote. Now, how that breaks for Donald Trump or for Hillary Clinton, we're not clear yet. But there is, again, some anecdotal evidence that the Trump forces, they're energized. Mm-hmm. They really are. And we've seen that. And I think it's a reflection of where the polls have gone in the last 10 days in the country. We have seen a tightening of many, many races, including, as we were discussing yesterday, Tim and Walker and Ray, we discussed the number of states that went into the toss column in Real Clear Politics. Into the toss column all of a sudden is Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, New Hampshire, Nevada. All of these have gone into the so-called Michigan, which used to be a safe state for the Democrats. All of those have gone into what's called the toss column because the race is so tight.
Mm-hmm. Walker, talk about our coverage tonight.
Yeah, tonight at 6 p.m. Central, we will begin coverage of all the election results. And shortly after 6 p.m. Central, we will have some state results for you on the East Coast. So if you'll tune in at 6 p.m. Central on AFR, you can also watch and listen at AFR.net. And also at our AFR Facebook tonight at 6 p.m. Central, we'll have all the results live as they come in here on AFR.
Ed Vitagliano will be here. Brian Fisher will be here. I'll be here. Fred will be here. You'll be here.
Yeah, we'll have also Sandy Rios in the morning. Sandy okay. Rios will be with us. We'll have Todd Starnes of Fox News. You hear his commentaries every hour.
Okay.
And you'll also have...
the whole gang will be here.
Yeah, we'll all
tonight.
Be here.
We'll be providing coverage for the... In addition to the presidential election, obviously there are many Senate seats up for grabs, House seats.
Oh, absolutely.
The Republicans are supposed to maintain control of the House of Representatives, but the Senate's very much at play, isn't it, Fred?
Right now it's 54-46 Republicans over Democrats, but we've been watching some very close races. Senator Kelly Ayotte, the incumbent Republican, New Hampshire, Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. But again, we've seen in late polling in those particular races where it was thought that the Republicans would lose, particularly this morning, Ron Johnson over Feinberg, Russell.
Feingold,
yes.
In Wisconsin, you're talking about.
In Wisconsin.
Right.
And that one has really tightened up. And the one we're going to be watching tonight, of course, is in Nevada. Harry Reid not running again. And
praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear.
Good choir number there.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I should not.
But the Republicans could actually take that. So you're exactly right, Tim. There's an excitement to watch in those races tonight. And then there's a bunch of other things that we'll be watching. You go to Colorado, and they're going to be voting on something called Colorado Care. And that basically is the state taking over health care in that one state. Now, it's going to cost $25 billion, and it's going to result in a 10% increase in income taxes for people there, but they're voting tonight on the state taking over health care in that state of Colorado.
Well, Ray, give us your thoughts right now.
I was just thinking, listening to the whole rundown there, and Fred, I wanted to ask you this question. What are the chances and what would be the ramifications if we had a repeat of 2000? Is it possible that one candidate could win the popular vote and another candidate could win the electoral college vote? And where would that leave us as a country?
Well, I tell you what, I think most of us remember 2000, the hanging chads, which kept the country in waiting for over, 30 days or so. I think it's probably the last thing people want. They would like something very decisive. But it would just continue the turmoil. I've been watching interviews this morning, and a lot of people said, we just want this to be over. Mm-hmm. The rancor and the nastiness that has gone back and forth, we just want this thing to be over. So, yeah, if there is depression now, there would be great depression if we're left with this kind of
Yeah, but good for the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, very good.
Don't you think? Their stock would soar.
I tell you what.
If we have something like that. All right.
Well, go ahead. Can I throw out one other question?
Yeah, sure.
Just to ask here. Okay, so we all agree, forgetting the candidates, the Democrats have a structural advantage in the Electoral College, just the way things are weighted. So, Fred, what would, if Trump is going to win tonight, describe what has to happen early on for him to have a chance to be the winner at the end?
Yeah, well, he pretty well has to take New Hampshire, Florida, and Ohio for sure. He pretty well has to take
that. You mean North Carolina?
North Carolina, I'm sorry, yes, North Carolina. And it would be really good if he took Pennsylvania early on in the evening, too. Hmm. If he gets Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, and Ohio.
Then he's going to be the next president.
Yeah.
If
he can win those.
Right. Speaking of North Carolina, our good friend Dr. Frank Turek is on the phone from the Tar Heel State. He lives near Charlotte and wanted to get his perspective on what's happening there and other things. Frank, you with us?
I'm with you. Howdy. How are you guys?
All right, brother. Tell us about your show on the weekends here on AFR. I heard it over the weekend, and Eric Metaxas' interview was excellent.
Thanks. Yeah, Eric is great. He's a wonderful guy. I've had Eric on several times. And what we do on Cross-Examined, the program, is we present evidence for Christianity. We cross-examine ideas against it. We talk about issues that are relevant today. Sometimes we talk politics. Sometimes we talk most of the time we're talking apologetics and evidence for the faith. But we get into current cultural issues as well. And with Eric, we were talking about his book, If You Can Keep It. And it's about how can you keep a republic, because Franklin was asked as soon as they put the Constitution together, Ben Franklin was asked, what have you given us? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. It's hard to keep a republic. It's hard to keep. You know, if we're supposed to be self-ruled, then we have to be selves who can rule ourselves, and we have to be virtuous people. And it seems to me that in recent years, virtue is mocked. Virtue is derided, and politicians are seen as good politicians if they can evade the truth and if they can spin things to their own advantage. And I find that a tragedy on both sides of the aisle.
Have you voted yet there in North Carolina?
Several times.
There's two
right?
That's right. Now, I voted about 2 weeks ago. And I don't like early voting. I mean, it's convenient, but I think all the chips ought to be on the table before you make a decision. And,
a lot can happen in two weeks.
Yeah.
Like the FBI. Announcing the reopening for investigation.
Right. And closing.
That's right.
I mean, so a lot of things. So you're not a big fan. Well, why'd you do it then?
Well, it's convenient. I mean, you can do it. I already knew who I was going to vote for a long time ago, so I didn't have any problem with it. But these people who are now going, oh, man, I have buyer's remorse. What am I going to do? I just really think I'd be fine with having a few days of voting, you know, right all, you know, say today and yesterday and the day after or something like that. But to have it two, 3 weeks in advance is crazy.
All right, let me ask you this. I was talking to somebody this morning, and I said, you know, it's not a good sign for Republicans when they have to fight for North Carolina. Mm. North Carolina is a part of the traditional South, and which has always been conservative for the most part. And I said, it's like Democrats having to fight for Oregon. You know, I mean, it seems out of character with what we've known of the state of Andy Griffith. You know, so what my question to you, what has happened? Is it been the invasion of outsiders into Charlotte that's changed things, or what has happened there in North Carolina?
I think that's part of it, Tim. I also think that the left has poured tons of money into this state to try and take it over because of the commotion they began with the bathroom situation. You know, that was started by a liberal mayor in Charlotte who went beyond her authority to create a law she didn't have the authority to create. And then the legislature had to step in and stop it. Otherwise, you'd have grown men going into women's bathrooms and children's locker rooms and showers. And just by saying, look, I feel like a woman today. And that's what brought about HB2. It wasn't Pat McCrory and the Republicans that wanted HB2. It was the liberals who made HB2 necessary by their reckless passing of a law that would have endangered women and children. And so now the left has poured all sorts of money in here to try and demagogue HB2 when, in fact, it was necessary based upon what the left had done in this state. Now, I still think poll-wise, the Republicans are in a pretty good position here in North Carolina, and Trump has drawn amazing crowds here in North Carolina. So we'll see what happens. You know, I'm praying for a good result. But look, no matter what happens today, in the end, if you're on the side of Christ, you're going to experience ultimate victory. And if you're not, well, you need to be on the side of Christ.
One more question for you, and I know Ray may have one for you. We're talking to Dr. Frank Turek, and he's joining us from the Charlotte area. Cross-Examined is his radio programs here on the weekends here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman in studio with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson, and co-hosting with me from Dallas is Dr. Ray Pritchard and Dr. Frank Turek, on with us from North Carolina again. I can't remember, Frank, I guess I've been watching presidential elections since, I guess the first one I remember, I'm 53, would be Nixon v, was it Humphrey? In
68?
68, I think. Yeah. I remember that one, right. and then Nixon beat
McGovern.
McGovern in
72.
So my question is, though, and the media, the liberal media, is always against the Republican. It doesn't matter who it is. However, I've never seen an array of forces aligned against one person like they are against Donald Trump. If he wins, and it could happen, it really is a David versus Goliath situation. You have Trump Trump is facing the Republican establishment, the Democrats, all of Hollywood, all of the media, the liberal media, the big money people that are scared he's going to shake up Washington D.C. with all the lobbyists.
Well, look, at least he has Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, though.
Well, that's a pretty good duo to have with you. But I mean, and
in Massachusetts, like, that's going to help him up there.
George Soros and all his money. I'm just saying that he really is taking on whatever you think of Donald Trump. It really is. It's a David versus Goliath fight, isn't it?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is I thought that if Ted Cruz was the nominee, that it would be even more vociferous against him because, you know, Donald Trump doesn't have a conservative he's not a politician. He doesn't have a conservative record like Cruz does. And I thought, well, I don't know what would have happened if Cruz was the nominee. But it is a little bit surprising that they're really painting Trump as the complete devil in this whole thing when he doesn't, at least traditionally, have the positions that we know the left is completely against. So there's something else going on here. You know, I mean, Trump is a...
What is it?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think what, Tim, you just said, the establishment, because let's face it, both parties in Washington have been part of the establishment, and doesn't matter what people say when they're running for office, they don't really do much. Charles Krauthammer famously said that the politics in our country is fought between the 40-yard lines. I think, though, Obama went for a touchdown with many of the things that he's done. Now, to his credit, I don't agree with his worldview, obviously, but he got a lot of the things he wanted to get done. And now Trump is saying, no, many of those things were awful. We got to go the other direction. So it's no longer fought between the 40-yard lines. And that is why I think the left is coming out so strongly against Trump, because he is trying to turn back much of the things that Obama has said much of the things Obama has done. So it's not kind of fought between the 40-yard lines. Obama went for a touchdown, and now Trump's trying to take the ball the other way.
Well, Frank, as the returns come in tonight, the eyes of the nation are going to be on North Carolina very early on. Would you care to just venture a prediction on which way, not only in the presidential race, but there's also a hot Senate race there. When it's all said and done, how do you think it's going to come out?
Right?
The governor's race, too.
I mean, I know Pat McCrory. He's a good man. I don't know much about Roy Cooper, except that he decided he was not going to support the Constitution of North Carolina when we passed the amendment that said marriage was between a man and a woman. So he's on the left side of things. and Richard Burr against Deborah Ross. We've seen more commercials in this state about those two. If commercials are any gauge, Burr's going to win. I don't know about McCrory and Cooper. I think that if Trump carries North Carolina, which it seems like he will, then McCrory will win. Although the left has so much trying to throw so much dirt on McCrory, and he really is a decent man. So my friend is the Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. He's a great guy. I'm not a prophet, you know, but.
Stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night?
Yes, that's right. I'm not a prophet, but I have written an article on One News Now. Does that do anything for me?
That does.
Absolutely.
But we're not asking you. You're just guessing that Trump might win by a couple points. Is that what you're guessing?
I think so. Probably in North Carolina. You know, the interesting thing, I know you guys, I just looked at this the other day. It seems to me, and again, you know, I could be completely wrong. It seems to me there's so much energy for Trump that he's going to get pushed over the top in several states you might not otherwise think.
Right.
Like maybe Michigan, like maybe Pennsylvania. You guys already mentioned that. Who knows? Maybe even Wisconsin. I mean, you got Scott Walker up there. Do you realize that if he won Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, he could lose Florida and still win?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of crazy things could happen today.
Yeah.
But that's why, Fred, I've been surprised by some of these people that have said it's a 90% chance, I've read, of Hillary Clinton winning the presidency. And I'm going, how do you say that when you look at the narrowness of the vote in Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania? So, I mean, I could see a 70-30 prediction, you know, in terms of she's favored by 70, but 90?
Listen, there is, in this election campaign, there's reality, and then there's the narrative of the left. The narrative of the left says Trump's only supporters are uneducated
deplorables.
Uneducated white men. Now, this is what they're saying.
Right.
This is all Trump has, uneducated white men. Well, it's simply not true. It's just like they said about Trump that he could never win in the primaries. Trump tapped into something, and this got to be nailed home, and there's going to be history books written about this. Trump tapped into that discontent that crosses all those lines. I was listening to women being interviewed this morning on Fox News in various places, Florida and Ohio and up in Wisconsin. They're voting for Trump. These are women who saying, I'm worried about the economy, and the economy's in the pits. All I've got is a 20-hour-a-week job. And Hillary Clinton is not going to do anything to correct that. So don't listen to the narrative of the left.
Okay.
Trump has tapped into something, and that is the reality. That is why the polls are so close. And as he's gone across the country, I remember after the last debate, he went down to Florida, and there were 10,000 people that showed up. There were thousands showing up when he was running in the primaries. Listen to reality and don't listen to these pundits who are over there telling you that what you should think. Look at reality.
I think what is certainly true is that if the incumbent, and in this case it's Hillary Clinton because she's just following in Obama's footsteps, if the incumbent is not over 50% by now, a majority of the late breakers go for the challenger, which would be Trump. Because if they haven't decided on the incumbent by this point, they're going to go, okay, we might as well give this other guy a shot, you know. We'll see. I don't know. You know what? The only thing that matters is that people who are listening right now get out and vote. That's the only thing that matters. Doesn't, you know, we could talk about this all day. If you don't vote, then you have no right to complain after your person doesn't get in. And that's not just at the presidential level. Tim, as you were mentioning, there are critical races all throughout. Governors, senators, congressmen, congresswomen, they got to vote now.
Absolutely. Listen, Frank, thanks so much for giving us your thoughts and perspective, and may you vote many times.
I disavow any of this conversation.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, guys. Great being with you. God bless.
All right, you too. That's Dr. Frank Turek joining us from North Carolina. Go vote today, people. Go vote today. It's extremely important. As Frank said, there are a lot of things to vote on. If you don't know who to vote for, check a sample ballot out and then call that guy that's always talking politics at your church and ask him who to vote for. He'll come in handy today. We'll be back in a minute.
On the next Today's Issues, after a very interesting election day, we'll have something to say about that.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah, we're having a hard time coming up with covering news today.
Yeah, just having to scrape the
bottom of news day.
It's a post-election edition of the show, and our country will never be the same. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. It's Election Day, America, and there's not a thing I can tell you that's going to lead you to change your vote. You made up your mind, and that's that. So those of you voting for Donald Trump are voting to secure our borders and eradicate the scourge of Obamacare. You're voting to protect the Constitution and save unborn babies. You're voting for somebody who's going to stand up for the American working man, somebody who's going to make America great again. Now, those of you who are never Trumpers are casting a de facto vote for Hillary Clinton. You're voting for President Obama's third term, a war on traditional American values, a war on the unborn. A Hillary Clinton presidency is sure to bring about 4 years of scandals and investigations, unfettered corruption. A woman who believes one way in public and another way in private. It's Election Day, America. May God have mercy on all of us. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It is Election Day. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and also Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News. Folks, I heard Newt Gingrich talking about this morning. I was reminded by his comments. You can't do what we're doing today in a lot of the world. China, you can't do this. Saudi Arabia, you can't do this. Many parts of the world that have, quote, banana republics, you can't legitimately, decide who your leaders are going to be. So we have a special privilege, Ray, here in our country. Ray Pritchard joining me from Dallas.
And, Tim, go ahead. Some of those countries around the world are different. You said China, but North Korea, either you don't vote or they give you a ballot with one choice, or they give you a ballot and it's already marked, right?
Right.
So here in America, we have a unique privilege. We actually get to choose our own leaders. And I just want to echo what Frank said. If you have not voted yet, and by the way, there's 40 million, 45 million have already voted, fine. That means another 100 to 110 million people yet to vote. So if there's going to be long lines or maybe a little bad weather, don't let that put you off. This is hugely important. Go and vote. It's what it means to be an American citizen. Cast your vote.
Absolutely. Well, joining us from Philadelphia, PA, or on the outskirts of City of Brotherly Love, is a good friend, Dan Celia, who has a show, Financial Issues, preceding our program from 8 to 10, and wanted to talk to Dan about the Keystone State. That's his home state there. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Dan.
Fred's here and Walker's here.
Oh, Fred, Walker, wow. Got the whole crew in there.
Yeah, we got
What do you need
crew.
Me? What do you need me for?
Well, none of us live in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, tell us about who's going to win Pennsylvania. That's what we want to know.
You know, Pennsylvania's hasn't voted Republican. You've mentioned this before, Dan, since 1988. And yet today, people are watching to see if that'll change.
Man, I'll tell you something, Tim. You know, it was interesting because this morning, about 4 o'clock this morning, I get a text from Will Addison. Will over there on the Urban Family Network, and said, what do you think about Pennsylvania? And I said, I don't know, I'm not real hopeful. The Wall Street Journal this morning had 10 counties that are extremely important for the whole country, 10 counties to watch in the country, and 2 of them were in Pennsylvania. And one of them was Bucks County, not a county that I live in. So my administrative assistant, Pat, she's been working for me for 17 years. She just texted me and said she's standing in a line that's over a mile long.
Yep.
They told her it was going to be 2.5 hours.
Whoa.
And so she, of course, is waiting. But she's never seen anything like that. I have never seen my wife and I at the polls this morning at 6:30. Polls opened at 7. We were 10th in line at 6:30 in the morning. We get in the polls at 7. Now, I've been voting at the same polling place for 30 years. We get through the polls. We leave at 7:10. I've never seen a line like that. It was absolutely insane. No place to park. Parking lot was packed. Yeah. People were parking on the grass. I've never seen anything like it.
Dan, we're hearing this everywhere across the country. Ohio is reporting the same thing. Florida is reporting the same thing. Our home state of Mississippi, I was telling folks earlier, Dan, that our morning anchor, Rusty Pugh, votes at the same place for the last 25 years. Same report that you just gave. People are parking in fields around because the parking lots are full. He's never seen anything like it in 25 years. So something is happening out there. How it all translates, we'll have to wait. But something is happening out there.
Well, you know what, Fred? I think some of the media is right. It's a movement. This is a movement to the likes of which we've never seen. This truly is a historical election. And I suspect the first president I voted for, I was in the military, I voted for Richard Nixon. And I've never seen anything like this. And I'm sure some of you haven't either. And, you know, it is really a movement.
Yep.
And if numbers mean anything, I think Donald Trump's going to have the numbers.
Let me ask you this. We're talking to our good friend Dan Suya from Financial Issues. I'm Tim Wildman with Ray Pritchard, raised in Dallas. Fred Jackson with us and Walker Wildman. Let me ask you this. I asked the same question to Frank Turek a few minutes ago. Why you think this is? Regardless of what you think of Donald Trump, he is David, and he's facing Goliath because I've never seen an array of forces against just out to stop one person. George Soros, the Democrat Party, the Republican establishment, the big money boys, is what I call them, who control a lot of politics. And then you've got
mainstream media.
The mainstream media and Hollywood, they're all aligned against Donald Trump. Why is that? Do you think?
Why are we seeing the movement, or why are they aligned
Why are all those institutions and all those powerful people against him?
Because they're scared to death of losing the status quo, the elitist environment that they thrive upon, and they're dumb enough to believe that the American voter can't see through it. And I think the reason we're seeing the lines at the polls is for that reason. The American people can see through this, and we are desperate for someone that is not establishment, that is not part of the cesspool of Washington. We're desperate for it. And I think that is the appeal from Donald Trump. I had Mike Huckabee and George Barna on the program today. And, you know, I just said one of the things that we were talking about this, what we're seeing here. But, you know, I said to George Barna, you know, the sad part about it is And there's an article about I was speaking from an article I wrote that's in LifeSat this morning talking about voting. And, you know, you the people that aren't going to vote, the Christians that aren't going to vote, the ones that he has offended, Donald Trump has offended so much they can't vote, his nasty words, whatever he has said to offend you, are going to do nothing at all to save one baby's life. Nothing. It's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. What his policies are, what he stands for, that's what's going to save the life of thousands of babies. That's what's going to change our Supreme Court. And I think a lot of people have gotten over his offensive.
You're talking about the videotape tone. From 11 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that yeah. And
just I know he's got it. Yeah, I know.
That's not what we need to save babies. That's not what's going to matter when it comes to saving babies.
The
Supreme Court. What we saw was a historical thing at the last debate, and I said this morning. I don't care if you're 22 or you're 72. You're never going to see this again in your lifetime. There was a man at the debate. Donald Trump, who stood there and said without any hesitation, he didn't try to dance around it like every single Republican or Democratic politician would have done when it came to abortion. And he said, it may be okay with you, it may be okay with her, but it's never going to be okay with me. No politician that's scared to death of even losing one vote based on their principles, is going to say it that way. They're always going to dance a little bit, trying to cover as many bases as they possibly can.
You're right about that, and then we'll right to jump in here. About his pro-life comments at the – I'm talking about Donald Trump at the last debate. I told somebody, Donald Trump – and I mean this in a complimentary way, so don't misunderstand how I say this, folks – Donald Trump doesn't know enough about politics to know he's not supposed to say he's going to appoint pro-life judges. Okay.
Right.
All other Republicans would have couched it in some other way.
Exactly.
But Donald Trump, because it's his asset is his liability, he just comes out and says straight up, I'm going to appoint pro-life judges. Next question. And now you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to nuance it or hide it in words or whatever.
Right.
But anyway,
that's why we're seeing the lines, Tim.
Right.
That's why the lines.
Right.
Right there.
Go ahead, Ray.
Dan, say something to us about the state of Pennsylvania itself, because it's an unusual state. I mean, you've got Philadelphia, you've got Pittsburgh, you've got everything in. But tell us about the demographic makeup of the state that makes it such a challenge for somebody like Trump or, frankly, any Republican to win.
Well, we've got Philadelphia at one side where I am, and we have Pittsburgh on the other side. And it's a big state. It takes me 7-8 hours to drive to Erie, Pennsylvania, probably 8 hours. So it's a fairly big state. The Bible Belt is in the middle. It is unbelievable. You know, remember Obama was talking about Pennsylvania when he said they're clinging to their guns and their Bible?
Right.
You know, but it's seven counties, 7 out of 57, seven counties control every election. And it's the counties, the three counties around Pittsburgh and the four counties around Philadelphia. And they can, and counting the cities, they control everything. And that's the problem. So it's... You know, you've got this extremely conservative state from city to city, but unfortunately, the majority of the population is in in and around those counties and those cities, and they tend to be very liberal. And that is that's what controls everything.
But the turnout for the central part of the state of Pennsylvania, which as you mentioned, is very conservative. That's supposed to be big today. So it
is.
And there's a chance that the Democrat vote in Philadelphia may be a little depressed because, after all, the African-American vote, it doesn't seem to be as enthused, at least pre-election day. Okay, everything may change today. I don't know, as they were for voting for President Obama, for example.
Well, and the other thing, Tim, is that Pittsburgh, and not as much Pittsburgh as Philadelphia, but nonetheless, are union towns, you know, they're union cities.
Okay.
And the union rank and file are voting for Trump.
Really?
You know, the voting, the bosses, the union bosses, you know, they're all about Hillary Clinton, and I'm sure some others, but the majority, and that's across the country, and that's one of the biggest issues that Clinton is facing, is that the traditional, they are getting the support, money, financially, and the support of the union bosses, and of course, all the dues and all the money that people are paying. But you know what? I saw on Fox News this morning out in Ohio talking to in a diner talking to union guys, and they were all voting for Trump, you know, and two of the guys said, we're not even going to tell you where we work, but they're worried about their jobs, they're worried about their economy. Yeah. So I think that's got a lot to do. That's going to be the surprise in Pennsylvania that nobody's really talking about in the Philadelphia area. Mm. But remember, we've got Philadelphia, that we had precincts in Philadelphia that they say, at least it was reported, they didn't get one vote for Mitt Romney, not one. Now, statistically, that's probably impossible, so there was something going on. But nonetheless, you know, we've got some pretty tough.
Well, there's a reason why Hillary Clinton held her last rally last night in Philadelphia, yes. And that is they're counting on Philadelphia carrying the state of Pennsylvania again to overcome Trump's support in the middle of the state. And we will we'll see what happens today. But you're saying, Dan, this morning at least, that the lines are huge in your part of the woods, and that may bode well for Trump, but we'll just have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. I think it is going to bode well.
Okay.
Keep praying.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it,
all
Dan.
Right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Dan Celia joining us from Pennsylvania. Fred?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think another story coming out of this election is going to be the media. I have never in my 40 years involved with broadcast journalism seen the bias, the level of bias in favor of one candidate. And they're going to pay a price for this. We know most of the mainstream media has been losing audiences, and for a lot of different reasons, a lot of people going to social media, Facebook and Twitter, to get their news. But I think it has to do with worldview. Our Thomas Nelson from Denton, Texas, mm-hmm. Who we've been listening to his sermon, Continental Divide was the title of his sermon. And he put it right. This is a battle between worldviews. Forget about Republican and Democrat for a second. This is a battle between worldviews. And part of the component of the left's worldview is the mainstream media. They're all in on this. And when you talk to university professors and when you talk to a lot of so-called lawyers and that sort of thing, it's their worldview versus a worldview that says, you know what? What made this country great is our Christian principles. What made this country great is that if you're a blue collar or white collar, you ought to be treated the same. And I tell you what, it's troubling to see how the media, and without apology, we had the New York Times, remember, back about a month and a half ago, that said, we are going to dedicate ourselves to defeat Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This has never happened before in the history of this country.
No, they used to pretend.
They used to pretend.
Yeah.
But now that, you know, it's the, if there's any blindness, it's gone.
If Trump wins tonight, the elites are going to be trembling in their shoes. And they're going to scream and cry bloody murder and cry wolf, because all of their power is going to be shaken up.
Mm-hmm.
And right. That would give me personally a little bit of pleasure. But
really,
We'll see how it goes.
All right. You're listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman. That was Walker Wildman letting his carnal side come out for all the world to see there. And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Obviously, we're talking about Election Day, and we're all waiting to see what's going to happen tonight. Dr. Ray Pritchard co-hosting with me from Dallas. And we're going to be here tonight starting at 6 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. So join us for our coverage of election night. And we don't obviously none of us knows what's going to happen. But I will say this. It is razor thin in some big states that are going to determine. What they're going to determine early on is whether Donald Trump has a chance or not. Let's be honest. If he doesn't win Florida, he has I don't think he has a chance
right.
to win
right.
the presidency, Ray. Now, here's where it could get interesting. This is why I told some people the other day, I said, I would not want to be Hillary Clinton on Election Day if Donald Trump is breathing down my neck. Okay, if he's within a margin of error, with I think his voters are going to come out. But for Hillary Clinton, you don't know because the energy level has not been there for her campaign. But here's what you got to look at. Florida is dead even in the polls I saw yesterday. North Carolina is dead even in the polls. Ohio, Trump is up 3. This is yesterday I'm talking about. And that's still within the margin of error. So, I mean, she could win Ohio, but he's favored by 3. And then you look at Pennsylvania, which we just talked to Dan Celia. Yesterday, Clinton was up 1.9%, I think it was. So that's within the typical 3-point margin of error, Fred. So
and
those four states.
Michigan became a toss state in
right,
the past
and that's
week.
Always been Democrat.
It's always been Democrat.
But, I mean, I think that's a little bit further out than from what I saw. That was more like 4 points or something like that. I'm just talking about those four states I just mentioned are big electoral college delegate, Ray, states.
Well,
that
you
go
know,
either way.
We can see it, you know, how it's going to fall pretty early tonight. If he takes Florida, right, and North Carolina and Ohio, and by the way, in Ohio over the weekend, the Republicans are very confident. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think there's much doubt at all he's going to carry the state of Ohio. If he gets North Carolina, which is going to be close, and Florida, that's going to be close, and as Fred said, New Hampshire, then Hillary has got to start sweating because he's going to carry Iowa. And then the race moves out west, and maybe it hangs on a state like Michigan, which even a month ago, right? Yeah. 1 month ago, every Republican had written off the state of Michigan, and here it is in
but
play
it
on Election Day.
It could be – the race could be called a, quote, landslide, and yet be – and yet that not be – and yet it be very, very close. I mean, the the Electoral College map I'm talking about. If Trump or Clinton take all four of those states we just mentioned earlier, you know, let's say they win by 1 point in all of those states and they take all of that core. Well, you could say, well, it's a landslide. Yeah, it's a landslide by Electoral College votes, but the popular vote was very narrow. Anyway, it could be, Walker, it could be extremely interesting to see what happens. But I, as I say, I would not want to be Hillary Clinton if Donald Trump, you know how. Have you ever seen these people in the long distance running in the Olympics or any other race, the cross country running, for example, or the long distance running, and the leader is out there in front, but then you've got this the number two person 3 steps behind them, and it's more nerve-wracking for the leader with the guy 3 steps behind him going boom, 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 boom. Because you know he's right there. You got to maintain.
The pressure's on.
The pressure's on.
Right.
And the challenger almost has the advantage psychologically in that. I don't know if that analogy makes sense or not, but anyway.
Yeah, to go back on what Fred was talking about, how the past few years of Obama, the past 8 years of Obama have affected the lives of Americans and workers and people in that are in unions maybe, but they're voting for Trump. In past decades, it seems as though the status quo has not really gotten down and affected people's pocketbooks and their jobs and their health care and all this stuff. But the past 8 years, Obama's policies have been so reckless and so devastating that it is starting to affect people's pocketbooks, them finding a job, their health care, et cetera, their insurance. And so I think the turnout you're seeing today at the polls is a reflection of people are directly being impacted by the executive branch policies.
It's the narrative versus the reality. I go back to what I was talking about a few moments ago. Listening to some of these people being interviewed live this morning from Fort Myers, Florida, there were some women. One lady said, you know, she started off thinking Obamacare was going to be good for her. She invested in it, but she can't afford it anymore.
Right.
This, we haven't talked about this. Obamacare. Obama's signature law legislation is a disaster.
Right.
Quote Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. Quote the Democrat governor of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Governor Dayton. It's a disaster. Mm-hmm. So there's people who are living in this world that Obama created, and it's not going well for them. Listening to another lady, she's a single mom. You know, she's trying to get ahead. There's another lady trying to start her own business, but she said, I can't because the economy is so bad. Mm-hmm. You listen to Barack Obama and he's, the economy's so good. We created millions of jobs. Yeah, he created millions of jobs with 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
People can't afford to live. They can't afford groceries.
Yeah, and one thing Dan Tsuya talks about is, you know, the government and some of the researchers report 1% to 2% GDP growth, you know, every quarter. What Dan says, he said this before, that that's basically no GDP growth.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're having the government and Obama's administration report to you the GDP growth. Well, of course it's going to be good,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you factor in the reality of how many people are out of work but not looking for jobs, the GDP growth could possibly be negative.
Yep.
And the unemployment
right.
situation here. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, those things you guys just mentioned benefit Trump for those who experience bad economic times. But she has her supporters, too. Let's not kid ourselves. She by Hillary Clinton.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, Lady Gaga.
Right.
Lady Gaga.
Jay-Z.
Yeah, she has the celebrity, all of Hollywood, just about, with the exception maybe of John Voight and Clint Eastwood and Scott Baio are supporting Hillary Clinton. So she does have her supporters, but will the enthusiasm for Hillary Clinton be enough to carry her to enough victories? Now, Ray, you mentioned this. I think you mentioned this earlier. California, the Democrat in today's world, the Democrat does not have to work very hard to win the presidency.
Right.
As hard as a Republican has to do. And I don't want to depress people, but I will say this. If Donald Trump doesn't win, I don't think we'll see another Republican president in my lifetime. But I could be wrong. I'm just making a guess. Because of the Electoral College map, we're basically controlled by a few big cities. This is not conspiracy theory. This is just fact. San Francisco, L.A., they control California. Philadelphia usually controls Pennsylvania. Chicago controls Illinois. And New York City controls the state of New York. Well, you win those, you're about there, Ray.
Right. Well, so. Hillary will start tonight with California, Illinois, and New York, and Massachusetts. Those four, right? So she's sitting, or not just her, but any Democratic candidate is going to start with about, what, 240, 242? Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible for a Democrat to go below 240 in a normal election.
It could be Bozo the Clown.
That's exactly
as
right.
As a nominee, they'd still be sitting where you're talking about.
That's right. So whoever the Republican is has got a steep hill to climb. Said another way, she's got a lot more paths to 270 than Trump does, which is why these early voting states are going to be, that is the states that are going to come in early tonight. It's going to tell the tale for Trump. If he carries those first three big ones, then it's going to be a long and exciting night.
Right. Go ahead, Ray.
Ray's a theologian. I don't know if we have time to get this question in and get the answer. But, you know, we are talking about Donald Trump being so frank about the abortion issue. The Catholics in this country are some of the most strongest pro-life people in the country. Yet many of them are Latino, and Hillary Clinton says, I got that vote wrapped up. Maybe when we come back after the news. I'd like, Ray, your what impact Donald Trump's statements, strong statements against abortion might have on Roman Catholics, Latinos in particular, who normally would support the Democratic Party. Do you think it'll make a difference?
Okay, we'll talk about that when we get back from the break. It's Election Day. It's almost 11 o'clock Central Time where we are, 12 o'clock on the East Coast. Go vote today and be a part of the American process of electing our leaders. A lot to vote on today. Senate races, House races, governor's races, and the big one, the presidential race. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.